Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Rimmel. Hey, what's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's up? How's it going, everybody?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Hopefully everybody in Radio Land is doing all right. So, you know, of course, you know what we do. We talk sports, entertainment, everything else. You know, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. We're gonna kick off with a little football. We're gonna talk about the Giants and their big win against the Raiders. Of course, we're gonna talk about the Knicks and their embarrassing loss at the Garden to the Spurs. Talk a little hot stove. Talk a little WWE and the rest of sports entertainment and stuff like that. And of course. But the big news is, of course, what we're going to lead off with is, this goes beyond football. We're going to talk about this whole Miami Dolphin disaster with Jonathan Martin and, of course, Richie Incognito. For those of you who don't know, but I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this show, you know what's going on. But, just in case, apparently two Dolphin players, you know, the aforementioned Incognito and Martin, basically they're teammates on the Dolphins, and you know, Jonathan Martin is a second year player, and he's being you know, bullied, the extreme form of hazing, by his teammate Richie Incognito, and he's been told a lot of racial and very misogynistic stuff about his sister and his mother. You know, Incognito, you know, really went above and beyond normal hazing. I mean, it's despicable what the guy did. And yep. The weird thing about it, as you know, Mac, you know, it seems like, you know, the Miami Dolphin organization, especially the teammates, they seem to be siding more with, you know, Incognito instead of Martin, who, you know, who's the real victim here.
Yeah, this whole controversy is very strange. One of the strangest controversies I've ever heard. Richie Incognito was on NFL Sunday this morning, and you know, he said him and Jonathan Martin were best friends. You know, and the way that they talked to each other was, you know, vulgar, and you know, they talked to each other like you wouldn't expect normal people to talk to each other or normal friends to talk to each other. But you know, he gave some of the text messages that he sent back and forth between him and Jonathan Martin. So I mean, they were cool, but I guess, you know, Jonathan Martin, deep down, he didn't appreciate, you know, some of the comments and some of the language that was being directed at him from Richie Incognito and some of his other teammates.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, friends do, you know, rip on each other from time to time, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this goes above and beyond. I mean, ever since you were little kids, you know, your mama jokes. If you do your mama jokes, you know, that's an invitation for, you know, a butt-whooping.
Yeah, but these were way comments that, like, threats against killing his sister and
his mother.
A half-N-word.
I know, but it just goes above and beyond regular, you know, dissing. I mean, this is...
Yeah.
I mean, Incognito is crazy. And, you know, as you were listening, you know, some players, you know, NFL players... especially former NFL players like, you know, your former legend, you know, former giant. Of course, I'm talking about LT, you know, Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
He was saying that, you know, Martin broke the code, you know, the NFL, you know, guy code, you know, that, you know, you have to keep stuff in the house. So
yeah.
He's feeling, in his opinion, he thinks that Incognito is most likely going to get back into the NFL before Jonathan Martin would.
Yeah.
And
I agree. I mean, he broke some kind of rule, I guess, that's in the NFL for years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still, I mean, there's no place for that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it's messed up. I mean, Jonathan Martin shouldn't have went through that. I mean, I understand what the former players are saying, you know, you know, if you're an athlete, especially in the NFL, you know, you got to have a thick skin, you know, you can't let stuff faze you, and you got to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that part of it, but, I mean, what this guy did was, you know, over the top, and, I mean, it is extremely difficult. I mean, this is like breaking news. I mean, I never... A 300-pound dude could be bullied. I mean, unless if he's facing a 400-pound guy or so. I mean, the guy, you would assume he'd stand his ground, you know, and not be bullied. But, I mean, it's a really weird story.
It is. I mean, I told you yesterday, I don't know what to make of it. I mean, they were supposed friends. And, you know, I mean, and I guess... Jonathan Martin, you know, he talked the same way that Richie Incognito was talking. Because, I mean, Richie Incognito did give NFL Fox some of the text messages that him and Martin exchanged during their, you know, relationship as friends.
And is it confirmed that somehow he doctored it, or does it seem like legit regular text
from? These are actually text messages from his phone. Yeah, the game phone, and NFL, and NFL Fox make copy of it, and and even
so
their teammates. The teammates said they were best friends, so I mean, I guess this was the way they talked to each other. But again, I guess Martin held this, held some of that.
To heart. Common sense should have told him the first time, the guy, said something out of line, especially about his mother and his sister and, calling him racial slurs, he should let him know that, he went too far.
Exactly.
I mean, if he talks about anything else, I mean, that's fair game. But once you go, about your family and your race and, stuff like that, your ethnicity and stuff like that, I mean, that really over the top. I mean, he had to put his foot down and say something.
Yeah. Hey, I don't appreciate what you're saying, or hey, I know we joke around, but I don't appreciate some of the comments. He should have told him that man to man.
Exactly. And if the guy said that he's going to, beat him up or whatever, he should have told him he better.
Mm-hmm.
Come. Shoot. He shouldn't have been scared of the guy. I know Incognito is crazy, but, he should have stood up to him.
Very strange story. Very strange.
Yeah, it's a weird story. I mean, Incognito in the eyes of, former NFL players seem more, ironically, I don't know how that's even possible, but, they feel like Incognito, is a more, I guess, a more, a guy who supports their values, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm speechless. as I'm thinking about this, I mean,
I could see it from both perspective and both point of views. I mean, I could see why, players are signing with Incognito. I mean, I guess Martin could have handled it in a better way instead of looking into a circus,
And I agree with that. I mean, he definitely should have made his feelings known and stood up to him.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, if he couldn't handle it, I mean, if he would have stood up to him, then as a last resort, he could have did what he did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that seemed like that was the first thing he did.
Yeah.
So, it's a crazy story. And there's some, I don't know if you heard, but there's some talks that, the Dolphin organization, knew about this and basically said to Incognito to, toughen them up or something.
Man, I don't know what kind of organization they're running over there.
It's crazy. Like, my goodness. I bet they're praying Don Shula comes back and rides this ship. And this ray, I mean, come on. What's going down in Miami? I mean, usually in Miami, they're usually laid back, they don't really care about, anything but the beach, basically. But, I mean, this is a crazy story.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this is not the last of this story. We're going to hear about this story.
Oh, yeah, we're going to hear more. And Martin has hired a famous lawyer who's represented Ryan Braun and Alex Rodriguez. So,
So this guy has a very credible track record supporting guys who denied up and down that they took steroids. But then again, he's a lawyer. What do you expect? He gotta follow the dollar signs.
Exactly.
So we're gonna definitely talk more about that in the coming weeks, maybe even as early as next week.
Yeah.
And let's talk some real football. Congratulations to your boys, the Big Blue, the New York Giants, for beating the Oakland A's 24-20.
Yeah, the Giants, they started season 0-6, And, you know, they got to win. They got to win these games. And games like these against a bad team like the Oakland Raiders, you know, they had to win to stay in this division race and in this playoff race. And it didn't start out too pretty. Gerald Jernigan fumbled the ball on a kickoff return. And that led to a Raider touchdown, which put us down 7-0. But our special teams helped us out when Terrell Thomas returned an interception 65 yards to set up a one-yard touchdown by Andre Brown, who came back off the DL today to help us. And Andre Brown looked really good today. He had, I think, about 30 carries, 115 yards, and one TD. So he might be the missing piece that we've been missing all season at running back, because I think we've had like five different running backs this year. So hopefully Andre Brown back, he can help our running game. And, you know, the defense played pretty good today. They got an interception, like I said. They got a couple sacks. You know, they forced the Raiders into some errors. And they won the game today 24-20. And Giants are 3-6 now. They've won 3 in a row. And, you know, like I said several weeks back, you know, this team, every year they go on a winning streak. So, you know, right now it looks like they're on that winning streak right now. So
3 in a row?
Next few weeks, it looks like their games are winnable. They have Packers, who are without Aaron Rodgers. And then the week after that, they face the Cowboys and the Redskins. So they could get back into this thing.
You're right. I mean, it's strange, but you have a point there. They're still in the hunt.
Yeah.
And most importantly, they're on a winning streak. I mean, sure, they're like, what, 3 games under 500, but, you know, they're still in the hunt, and, you know, they have a little winning streak going.
Yeah, they got to keep on winning, you know. Don't lose focus. Next week they have the Packers, who lost their Aaron Rodgers and who lost Seneca Wallace, who was a backup, but now he's injured. He injured himself today. So now they're going for third-string quarterback. So, you know, next week I don't see why they shouldn't win that game at home against Packers. So we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. And plus, you know, another Giant news, you know, David Wilson, you know, Mr. Backflip, you know, he's hurt and he's gone for the rest of the year.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, we got Andre Brown, so hopefully Andre Brown will give us that missing piece at running back, because Wilson, I mean, even when he was starting, he really didn't do much at running back. So hopefully with Brown back, he can definitely help.
That spark you guys need.
Yeah.
Keep this momentum going.
Yep.
And, you know, of course, Jets, they had the bye week. So, you know, no losses or wins for the Jets. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll see them next week.
Yep.
And a team that apparently think they're the Jets because, you know, they took a bye week today. And, of course, you know who I'm talking about, the New York Knicks. Man, when the 94 Knicks used to say go New York, go New York, go, that means to, you know, to play good, not to leave, you know, before the first quarter ends. What was the Knicks doing? I mean, it was literally 10-0.
I thought they had a chance today.
I thought if they played hard, they would have had a chance. But man, they didn't even show up for the Star Spangled Banner.
Yep. Not at all.
It was like when they were announcing the starting lineup, nobody came out. Nobody came out. Ford, and then you see the spotlight on nobody. They're like, yo, where's Melo at?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, they came off of that big win against Bobcats.
Exactly.
Got revenge for the loss the Bobcats gave them at the Garden.
Oh, yeah, a few days ago, and we thwarted our old ally, you know, Patrick Ewing, the big fella, you know. We stopped him from getting his first coaching win, you know, in he was substituting for Clifford, you know, former Knick assistant, you know, because he had to be hospitalized because he had a problem with his heart, so... Friday night, you know, Knicks got revenge against the Bobcats, and, you know, Jordan was joking around saying that, you know, if he lost the game, you know, he was going to be fired as, you know, the head coach. And I guess he even got fired because tomorrow, you know, Clifford is healthy again.
Yeah.
And he's going to resume his role.
Well, it's unfortunate that we had to give him his first loss as a head coach, but...
Hey, better him than us.
Yeah. But, you know, I hope Patrick Ewing gets the opportunity to coach the NBA. I mean...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I thought he should have really gotten that coaching role in Orlando, but it didn't work out.
Yep, probably backstage politics by Dwight Howard. Maybe had them to do it.
Maybe.
But
he
got,
sure.
They clean house. They clean house for Dwight Howard, and he still left and went to Lakers. And then what did he do after that? He left Lakers and went to Rockets.
Yep.
And then this guy, this is the same guy who's, oh, yeah, by the way, he did lose to the Lakers, you know, a few days ago.
And the Rockets, you're talking about.
Yeah, the Rockets lost to the Lakers. And the reason why is because Dwight Howard, but they implemented the hacker Howard because I mean this term was originated by Hacker Shaq because basically, you know, both Howard and Shaquille O'Neal are horrible free throw shooters.
Yeah,
so
that's
basically,
true.
D'Antoni last year was criticizing the league for, you know, hacking Howard, you know, because he, you know, because of his poor free throw shooting. So what does he do?
He does the same thing.
He did the same thing.
Yep.
Which is very reminiscent to me when Joe Torre used to be criticizing Roger Clemens for being a headhunter. But as soon as, you know, Clemens became a Yankee and he, you know, basically headhunted Piazza, you know, Torre was defending his guy.
Right.
You know, apparently, you know, managing, you know, anesthesia, I suppose. So basically... You know, Dwight Howard, he made five of his 15 shots, free throws, like, down the stretch. I mean, he was, like, missing shots. Like,
wow.
My goodness. He couldn't catch a cold if he stood outside Central Park in his underwear. I mean, it was just horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy couldn't make a shot.
He needs to improve on that, on his free throw shooting, if he wants to be – like a great player, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that just shows that he's not committed to winning. I mean, you know that's your weakness. He's supposed to be Superman, but even Superman, you know, has a kryptonite, you know, anti-kryptonite suit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you know what your weakness is, you got to work on it.
You got to improve that.
And this guy, I mean, this guy's a head case. I don't know if you heard. Like, he got upset because... You know, in the beginning of the season, you know, the Orlando Magic gave his number to some player who's on the team now.
So? He's not on the Magic anymore?
He's not on the Magic. I mean, he basically burned the bridges.
Yeah, what is he? Why should that matter?
I mean, he basically burned his bridges. I mean, was he a great player for the Magic? Yeah, but how he ended, I mean, he just ruined his entire legacy.
If you didn't want them to give your number away, you should have stayed in Orlando.
Exactly. I promise you, if he stayed in Orlando, they would have never gave somebody else his number.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what the heck this guy is.
Doesn't make any sense.
I'll be upset if Lakers gives his number away, if they already did, because that's insanity. My goodness, he got what's his name? Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy fired.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Shoot. And if you remember, Van Gundy did a press conference in front of Dwight Howard saying that how, you know, he's gunning for his job. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, Dwight Howard, bold-faced, you know, he was saying, oh, how, where you got your sources from? I was trying get him up. No, that's not true. And then they said that Van Gundy just said that right now. I mean, come on, man. I mean, these players, I mean, they're so obsessed with their image, but yet they do stuff that tarnish their image.
Yep.
I mean, come on. I mean, and we're going to face the Rockets this week. So hopefully we'll implement the Hacker Shack, you know, Nick blowout, hopefully. But the way how Knicks are playing, I don't know. I don't know. Let's just keep our fingers crossed. Knicks will actually show up.
Yeah. I mean, they got to play better than what they did today. Today was horrible, man. 120-89 was the final score.
Yeah, I know. See, you see how bad that loss was? I can't even talk about Bryony's great game he had Friday night when he actually showed up because, you know, the whole team laid an egg like that Jingle Bell Batman version. I mean, I can't even talk about it.
Yeah, and J.R. Smith made his return today.
Right,
I don't know how many points he scored.
I don't even know. I mean, he just, I guess he popped up and then he disappeared too, I suppose. So, you know, apparently, you know, Carmelo and Bryony scored 16. I don't know how they did that because nobody showed up today, but, you know.
Yeah, no defense.
I'll take, you know, people's word for it that they actually played. Because they played no defense today. And I don't know if you heard, like, MLB rumors. You know, your boy Granderson might be coming to the Mets. What's your thoughts on that? Hello?
Hello?
You're here?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. It seemed like you were shocked or something. You were like, what the heck? I mean,
oh, no, I guess it was my phone or something. No, I'm saying that I think it would be a good fit, although, you know, Granderson is more accustomed to, you know, hitting the ball in home run stadiums, you know.
I know. You stole the words right out of my mouth, man. I mean, we're thinking of the same thing. I'm like, Granderson's a very good player, you know. He's a 33 type guy, but at Yankee Stadium, this guy hits like 40 plus home run. You can't expect him to hit 40 home runs in Citi Field.
Yeah,
I think
he'll
be a good fit, but I don't think he's gonna be the 40 guy, a 40 home run guy. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, he better not be the only big acquisition that Mets do in this off season. Because, Mets need a lot of, improvement. You know, they got
a lot of help.
Yeah, they do.
Because your boy's going to be out next year. The pitcher.
Matt Harvey,
yeah.
Yeah.
And need to replace that.
Yeah, we definitely need to replace that, you know. Whether it's a Bronson Arroyo or via a trade, you know, they gotta definitely improve on the offense. I mean...
Yeah,
and that's how bad the shortstop it's been. I mean, Tejada, you know, he's supposed to be you know great defensively, but he regressed last year.
Yeah.
And now they're even thinking about bringing back Rafael. Well, not bringing back, but actually signing Rafael for a call. And he hasn't played the whole year.
I didn't even know he was still in baseball.
He didn't play last year. He didn't play this year.
Oh.
He signed with the he was with the Cardinals, but he got hurt. And guess how he got hurt? You won't even believe how he got hurt.
Running around the bases?
No, Tommy John surgery.
What?
I never heard of a regular play. I mean, I know he throws the ball hard as a shortstop. You know, he has a cannon for an arm, or he used to have a cannon for an arm before the Tommy John surgery. But I never heard of a positional player having Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, they use that for pitchers.
I know. My goodness. But, yeah, Mets are interested in him, you know. I'm hoping as a backup guy or, you know, he better not be the big free agent signing because, you know, like we were saying, you know, Mets need some help.
Yeah.
But another thing, shifting gear to your guys, there's rumors that apparently – one of Carlos Beltran's friends said that Beltran is interested in playing for either the Red Sox or the Yankees.
I mean, I wouldn't mind. Maybe for a season, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind it, but...
I think he's coming to you guys, hands down.
I mean, I could see him with the signing with the Red Sox shit.
I could see that too. I mean, he's a boss client, so whoever gives him a dollar, you know, extra dollar, he's gonna sign with them.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But I think he's definitely gonna go to you guys because there was rumors even before when he was about to sign with the Mets, he did a backdoor deal with the Yankees saying that he's gonna sign. He'd sign for less money, maybe I don't know, $20 million less to go to the Yankees, and Yankees basically, you know, turned him down. So I think it's gonna happen. Not to mention Wainwright had a dream that Beltran would be playing in the World Series, you know, with the Yankees this coming season. So
who had a dream?
I think it was Adam Wainwright from the Cardinals, his teammate.
What the hell? Is that serious?
I think he said that before game one of the World Series. He said this.
World Series of the Yankees?
Yes, what, next year?
What the hell?
does that make you want to sign him?
No, but that's strange, though, that he would dream of something like that. Why did he just say World Series with the Cardinals?
I think he dreamed that they lost and they went to the, he went to the World Series next year, which is 2014, with you guys. So I mean, at this rate, if he's right, you know, we should start asking, Wainwright for some numbers for the lotto.
Like a prediction.
Hey, when is the Mets gonna win the World Series? But all seriousness, shifting gears, let's talk a little WWE.
Yep.
Can't remember what happened. Oh yeah, well basically, you know, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, you know, they form an alliance and most likely they're gonna fight against Luke Harper and Rowan what's that other guy named? Eric Rowan, I think.
Yeah.
From the Wyatt family.
Yep.
And WWE, you know, apparently, you know, they're blaming Daniel Bryan for them losing money on their pay-per-view events.
Obviously, Daniel Bryan is the one that's actually, you know, making the fans interested in actually buying their events. But now they're burying him and, you know, they're relegating him to tag team status and he's no longer a main eventer.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense because
he
gets fans pumped up with those yes chants.
Exactly. And now what did they do? Now they got Big Show leeching off Daniel Bryan's momentum, and now, you know, he's reaping the benefits of Daniel Bryan's hard work.
Mm-hmm. Stealing his shine.
Exactly.
Sucks, man.
It does suck. I mean, they better get their act together in in a few months, you know, put him back in the title hunt because what they did to him was messed up.
I agree.
They ruined the whole storyline. They totally butchered it.
They should blame themselves for stripping him of the title.
Exactly. That's what started this whole outcry. I mean, you know, having Orton cash in on him was a surprising and, you know, a memorable event.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did Night of Champions, the night after Night of Champions, I mean, that was a joke. How are you going to make the guy beat Cena in one pay-per-view, and after he defeats Orton, you know, to regain the title after, Orton cashing the money in the bank, and then you strip him of the title without him losing fair and square.
Yep.
I'd understand if the guy was injured. I'd be like, okay, fine. You know, that's the way they want him to lose it. But come on, man.
You don't know what they're doing, man.
Wrestling 101, man. You lose the title, and, you know, you have a match and you lose it.
You don't know what they're doing.
Getting the title stripped, I mean, that's just a, you know, a wussy way to take the title off somebody. I mean, unless if the person was, like, completely a jerk and he, you know, he did something that endangered, you know, himself and the company or something like that, you know, like a loose cannon or something like that, fine. But the guy, I mean, he just did his job. You take the title off of him?
and then they take him out of the main event because, shocker, he's, you know, he's not a 7-footer and a 300-pound dude. But duh, you guys knew that before you gave him the push.
Yeah, that's probably why fans are not buying pay-per-views, because they're upset for that reason.
And the problem is they did buy the pay-per-view events, but they were upset by how the Authority, you know, Triple H's new faction, you know, treated him, you know. So they asked for their money back, and the pay-per-view, the, you know, the cable companies gave them the money back.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what they're going to do, who they're going to blame when Big Show and Orton isn't going to make no money, you know, being the main event. I mean, we could have just, if you want to see Orton and Cena as champions, all you got to do is buy a DVD from 05 all the way to, well, I guess you could say now. You know?
Oh, yeah, you could say now, because it's right now, yep.
Because basically they're champions again.
Yeah.
And Big Show, I mean, come on. If Big Show's not a good guy, I mean, Big Show is not used right when he's a good guy.
Nope.
You can't be an underdog when you're a 7-footer. My goodness. I've never even been in the ring, and I should know that. And I know that. Come on. WWE, man. Wake up, man.
If you win every match easily.
I know you have no competition anymore, but come on. Try to, and this kind of goes back to CM Punk's pipe bomb speech he had. No matter who they have, people are going to still watch it anyway.
Yeah.
So that's why WWE is basically crapping on their fans by, you know, by ruining their product.
I agree.
And that's basically all I have to say about that. So, you got any last words for today's episode?
Yeah, check out my show, iMac, Saturdays at 11, and check out this show, Sports Urban Legend, at 6 p.m. every Sunday evening.
All right, folks, you know, thank you all for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. Along with Ricardo Nassi, I'm William Lamo, and of course, I'll see you guys next week.